Welcome to the Bulls Show, your look at the Chicago Bulls from fans' perspective. I'm your host, Nils. With me today, Mitch, Ricky. What's up, fellas?
I feel good. We just interviewed a decent basketball player who's okay at basketball, won a few championships.
I think this replaces the Nick Friedell interview as the most publicized Bulls show of all time.
As you guys know, for those of you who follow bloggable.com, they've been celebrating Scottie Pippen Week all week long with some really great posts, really great content on the former Bulls Hall of Fame career. I really don't know what to say or what I should do to lead up to this recording, because it's by far the coolest thing that we've done on this podcast.
Yeah, we've been around for about 150 episodes, and we've definitely had some great insights, been able to bring on some great people, starting with Ricky O'Donnell. But having Scotty is definitely going to be really, really, really cool, talking about the championship years, talking about the current Bulls, talking about the changing of the game. I think it's a really cool interview. I think Bulls fans are going to be really, really pleased and excited to hear Scotty talk on all those topics.
Yeah, and we know Scotty doesn't do a lot of interviews like this. He basically told us that he wanted to do this show just to reach out to the fans, to talk to some people who grew up watching him. So I think he gave us a really good perspective throughout his career, going from, you know, his entrance into the league to the Bulls' 6 titles. So I think it was a really nice interview. He was super down to earth, and it was a great opportunity to be able to do it.
I don't think you guys could have previewed that interview any better than what you just did. So subscribe to the show on iTunes. Give us a follow at Mitch Don't Lie, at @SBN_Ricky, and of course at the Bulls Show. Check out all the stuff, as I mentioned, on bloggable.com, celebrating Scottie Pippen Week. Also, you can catch the show on our affiliate site, gowherehiphop.com. And that being said, here's Scottie Pippen. On the line, it's 6-time NBA champion, 7-time NBA All-Star, 8-time first team all defense, among the 50 greatest players in the NBA, Hall of Famer and Bulls legend, the one, the only, Scottie Pippen. Scottie, welcome to the Bulls Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
We're obviously excited to have you on, but even more so today because we're recording this on Friday, September 25th, which is also known as your birthday. So let the Bulls Show be among the first to wish you a very happy 50th birthday.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
So I got to ask, what are you doing to celebrate?
Wow. Actually, I'm thinking about getting up and playing some golf here in a few minutes if the rain can stay away. But I got a party tonight.
Nice. Well, I read a report a few years back that on your 47th birthday, you celebrated with a dance-off against Michael Jordan. Is that true? And if so, who won?
I don't recall that. You might never have a dance-off. I don't think anybody would win. I don't think either one of us consider ourselves a good dancer.
Well, if you didn't celebrate by dancing, you certainly did enough celebrating during your storied career as a member of the Bulls. But before we even get into the championships, I want to ask you about the beginning of your career, because you went from an unheralded prospect out of Central Arkansas to one of the NBA's most versatile players and arguably the league's best perimeter defender. Coming into the league, who were your major influences? Who did you try to model your game after?
I mean, I think I have a few guys, really. You know, I idolized Dr. J growing up as a young kid, and I think as I grew, I started to watch more Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. So I tried to package up those three guys and really develop my game off of their style. I wanted to be a ball handler, and, you know, being a big guy and, you know, sort of play that Magic kind of game, but also wanted to be a smart player that, you know, didn't need a lot of athleticism, but I could think the game, and that's kind of where I find the comparison with Larry Bird, is that, you know, having a high IQ and just, you know, not really having to use athletic ability all the time, but use your mind and think the game out forward. Those three guys really are what I consider guys that I package my game after and idolized, and I sort of created my own sort of way of how I wanted to approach the game from a versatile standpoint.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier on our previous podcast that, you know, you essentially created a new genre of player, being able to defend positions 1 through 5, being a big, really point guard. You know, I feel like the first time I heard the term point forward was in reference to you. Within 3 years of being drafted, you know, you became the first. You became a first-time All-Star in 1990. This coincided with Phil Jackson's first year as Bulls coach. So I wanted to ask, what was it like playing for Phil, and what changed for you personally playing for him to cement your status as an All-Star?
I think a lot of things changed. You know, when I came to the Bulls back in 87, that's when Phil was also hired as an assistant coach. So I think Phil saw a lot of my hidden skills that weren't being used on the basketball floor, probably just from watching me being in the gym and how I worked and things that I could do, that he realizes that, well, he realized that I can handle the ball and have the ability to run an offense, but also have the poise to run a team, not to, you know, be a high turnover guy. But that really sort of threw me back as to the player that I used to be. Going through high school, I was always a point guard. And even most of my college career, I played on the top of the floor. So coming to the Bulls and not being the guy that sort of ran the offense and the leader of the team, it was a bit of a throwback for me for a few years. And I was trying to find myself and find my way on as to what I could do. And I think Phil just really came and solidified it all for me.
Yeah, I feel like the triangle offense really tailored to your skills and your abilities. But before the Bulls even became a dynasty and really the team of the 90s, there were some growing pains early in your career, specifically against the Detroit Pistons. Can you tell us what you learned most from those disappointments?
Well, I mean, I think it was just what every young player goes through in the league. And it's like any kid, you have a few years where you go through maturity. And I think my first few years in the league, I was developing and becoming more mature from a mental and a physical standpoint. And I think that's what people saw my first 2 or 3 years in the league, is that I was a kid that wasn't physically strong and probably wasn't mentally strong, but it was the development and the trials and tribulations that I went through early on in my career that taught me and showed me that I have to do better and I have to get better.
Well, when I think back to the first three-peat, 91 through 93, I feel like each title run had a defining Scottie Pippen moment. You know, in 91, you put Magic Johnson in handcuffs. In 92, you led the second unit in an epic fourth quarter comeback against the Blazers to clinch the second title. And then in 93, you had Charles Smith over for a block party, denying him at the rim multiple times to steal the momentum from the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Was there a moment or play that stands out the most to you during those first three titles that you would consider your favorite?
Well, probably guarding Magic. As I stated earlier, you know, he was one of my heroes, a guy that I idolized. And, you know, to have that chance to play against a guy that you looked at and idolized, and you watched him play in the finals for many years, and now you're playing against him. It was a great moment there for me, and I think that moment really stands out mostly because of not just Magic, but the Lakers, Showtime, Hollywood. It just sort of put basketball in a different perspective for me, and just made the game more exciting. I think it was really the rising of the Chicago Bulls as well, you know, to watch your franchise go from, you know, being a team that drafted you and, you know, team that made it to the playoff here and there, to now your team is playing in the finals. And That first finals against the Lakers really the greatest time for basketball for me in my life, because I think that really propelled everything else to fall in line.
Hey, Scotty, this is Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation. I'd like to jump forward a little bit in your career and talk about 1994. That was the season when you really stepped into your own, when Michael started playing baseball. I'm wondering how your mindset really changed coming into that 94 season, and how did you embrace the challenge of playing without him?
Well, I mean, there was nothing else to do. I think Michael showed up maybe a week or two before training camp, decided that, you know, he wasn't going to be coming to play. But, you know, my preparation for the season was already, you know, done. So I always, you know, took the offseason and tried to get better, get stronger, you know, also be ready for another long season. So when that happened, you know, it was just a situation that, you know, we had to be willing to deal with from a mental standpoint. I think we were able to overcome it. Tony Kukoc came to us that year, so it gave us another player that, you know, was looking forward to the opportunity of coming to the Bulls, but it wasn't any added pressure to him, you know, having to play with Michael. It was a season where we didn't have much pressure because no one didn't think we would win many games anyway, but it was great, and we embraced that challenge, at least I did, and felt like that, you know, I could lead that team, and, you know, I felt like that we could have won the championship had we had a few calls go our way.
Obviously, you're referencing that Hugh Hollins call. This is Mitch from the Bulls show. If that call didn't happen, do you think the Bulls could have gotten to the championship that year or won the championship that year?
Oh, man, it would have been great just to take the ride a little bit farther. I don't know what the end results may have turned out to be, but it would have been great to see if we could go back and defend our title. You hate to, you know, lose in that kind of situation, but, you know, things happen and just learn and grow from it.
Scotty, in that year, you just were incredible that season in 94. I believe you led the team to 55 wins. You were third in MVP voting. You won the MVP of the All-Star game. You were first team All-NBA. But still, the moment that sticks in my mind is that dunk over Patrick Ewing in the playoffs. How often do you go back and watch that dunk? And do guys still tease Patrick about that dunk? Because that was really one of the best slams in NBA history.
Wow. No, I don't tease Patrick. If you know Patrick, you don't tease. But, you know, Patrick is a great friend of mine, and that dunk is one of the highlights of my career. But it's also a dunk that hurt my friendship with Patrick as well. So there's some good and bad to that. But all in all, I think it was one of the greatest dunks of my career.
Now, Scotty, the team obviously transitioned to the second championship run where you added Tony Kukoc and Dennis Rodman and a few other players. Can you tell our audience how you would compare or how that second championship run compared to the first championship run, other than obviously different players?
Well, I think that more experience. You know, I think the first run we were more energetic, young. We beat you in athleticism. There was just two young guys, me, myself, Michael, and also Horace Grant that were, you know, we were young, we were growing at home, and we were very hungry. In comparison to the second run, we were just veteran players that knew how to play the game, especially when I look back at the 96 season. I don't think any of the players on that team knew where we were headed that season or what we were getting ourselves into. But it was probably one of the closest teams that I had ever been with in terms of guys that really enjoyed each other and spent time with each other on and off the floor. That's what made that team very special. And it paid off for us in the long run.
Was there a moment, Scotty, when you could really tell that something special was developing in 1996? Because just such a dominant regular season, something we really may never see again. Was there a particular instance where you really thought it was starting to click for the group as a whole?
Well, I could probably say around 30 games or so. We were looking at a record that was probably around 30-1, 30-2. You know, we feel pretty good about ourselves. I don't think any of us bought into it you just took it one game at a time. And I think that's why it all happened the way it did, because we never let the media or anyone really started to excite us. And before we knew it, we were already in position to be one of the best teams in the history of the game. So I think the telling moment for me, again, is when I saw how close we were as a team. Guys were really enjoying being with each other and spending time with each other. It really bonded us real good off the court. That made our on-court bond that much stronger.
I have to ask, you know, the biggest personnel change going between the two championship runs seems like it was a power forward. You guys losing Horace Grant and replacing him with Dennis Rodman. I need to know, what were your thoughts upon getting Rodman? Because obviously you guys had so many battles previously when he was with the Pistons. And did the team immediately embrace Dennis? What was it like sort of accepting Dennis into the culture that the Bulls had there?
Well, we initially accepted Dennis. I mean, you look at his numbers and, you know, his career speaks for itself. But we knew that there were going to be other challenges, and we didn't know how we were going to have to deal with him. And as a player, as a leader of the team, we were being asked to do a little more than what we had did in the past. And our leadership was going to be highly magnified to some degree, because we had a guy now that he's a veteran like us. And, you know, he's going to be expecting the same privileges that we get. And we felt like that we're veterans. We won 3 championships, and we've earned those rights on that team. But, you know, bringing Dennis in, he was a guy, like I said, his numbers spoke for themselves. And we knew that if we bonded with Dennis Rodman, that something special was going to come out of that season.
Now, Scotty, you played a ton of great teams over that decade run, starting from those Bad Boy Pistons teams to the Showtime Lakers, even considering Reggie's and Ewing's teams, and obviously the Karl Malone and Sean Kemp's teams. If you put all those teams in the tournament, all the teams that you guys ran through, who do you think comes out? Who's the toughest team that you guys played over that decade run?
Well, you know what? I'm not going to answer that question directly. They were all tough. You know, every NBA Finals was different. You know, they had a lot of trouble with Showtime. They came in. They were the greatest team, and they were the Lakers, and they were led by Magic Johnson. You know, even though they were an aging team, you can't take nothing away from the way they laid it out on the line. And, you know, you talk about Seattle, Phoenix. You know, all those teams pushed us to a game 6 other than the Lakers. So there's, you know, they were all tough teams. You know, Utah playing them in the finals twice. You know, they were all good teams. You know, they would have to battle it out for me to figure out who were the better team. I mean, Seattle with Sean Kemp and Gary Payton, you know, great teams. And I don't want to belittle any team that played in the NBA Finals. They were all great, and if we had to play them again, you know, they were good enough that one of them could beat us eventually.
Scotty, was there while all those teams were great, was there a particular player that you felt was the toughest to guard during your era?
I mean, guard in my position or just guard on the floor?
Guard on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, Shaq changed the game. He's probably one of the toughest guards on the floor. Not that I guarded him specifically, but he was part of a challenge that we had to meet, especially in the 90s when he first came in the league. He was just a dominant freak.
Right.
And, you know, I can throw Sean Kemp in there, playing him in the finals. We knew that he was a tough matchup for Dennis one-on-one. And he proved to be a tough matchup throughout that whole series. I mean, but, you know, there's been guys that have been very dominant. And me as a young player, Larry Bird was very dominant to me. Dominique Wilkins, Adrian Dantley, Mark Aguirre. Those are guys that, you know, they taught me that to be better. They taught me to work hard, to get stronger, to be a better defender, because they were very potent offensive players.
Scotty, when you look at the league right now, is there anyone in the game today that reminds you of yourself a little bit?
I always use the comparison like LeBron, because he sort of plays the position that I play, more of a point forward, has more freedom than I had as a player. Offensively, he's far beyond, you know, physical aspect as to where I was as a player. But if you take away his physicality, we sort of played a lot of like, had the ball in our hands a lot, like to make the plays, force double team, make the right pass. Sort of the same scenario as how I played the game.
Scotty, we're going to wrap up with you for a second. I know you got to hit those links for your birthday round. But obviously the game is a little bit different than what you played. More threes, less physicality. How do you think the game is changed other than that? And how do you think a Scotty Pippen would fit into the current NBA?
I think I'll do well. I mean, I think I could fit in with this breed of player. It would be the same. I mean, I think the way I played, I could transcend and play 10 years before my time, and I could go and play 10 years now after my time.
Do you think the game has changed for the better? Do you think it's a worse basketball? What are your thoughts on the new NBA?
Well, I definitely think it's changed for the better. I mean, the game is younger. You don't see as much veteran players in the game. And it's just a young, it's more exciting, it's more fun. But at the end of the day, it's still basketball. There's very subtle changes. Defensively, the game isn't where it was when I watched it as a kid, you know. It was more of a game that was predicated on being able to stop guys and doing what you had to do to limit scoring for a team. And today's game is sort of the opposite. They want to see more scoring. And there's less advantage to the defensive player because they want the game to be up and down.
Scotty, we'll let you go on this. How do you expect this year's Bulls to be different under Coach Fred Hoiberg, and how can they win the championship?
Well, they can win a championship by staying healthy, but I think it'll just be a more looser team. I think the players will be more freely and be able to operate under a system where they're just more or less playing instinctively instead of having to look over their shoulders and get a lot of play calls and things of that nature. I think the game will be a lot more smoother for them if they just go out and just play basketball instead of trying to execute plays.
Scotty, it's been a pleasure, truly an honor to chat with you. We're all big fans, all grew up watching you, and we hope you've had a chance to see all the well-written pieces on bloggable.com to commemorate your career during what we're calling Scotty Pippen Week. But more importantly, go enjoy your birthday.
Happy birthday, Scotty.
I appreciate it, guys, and thank you guys for having me. I just wanted this opportunity to, you know, speak to some of the fans out there. So thank you guys for having me.
Awesome. Well, thank you. That'll do it for this episode of The Bull Show. Thank you for listening. For our guests, Scotty Pippen, Mitch, and Ricky, I'm Nils. See you next time. Bull Show.